Hey everyone, you know what day of the week it is. It is Monday, which means only one thing. It means it's time for Get to Know Night, the weekly show where you ask me questions and I give you answers to the best of my ability. You might be hearing some popping sounds in the background. It's the day after 4th of July, so people are, I guess, disposing of whatever fireworks they didn't set off last night. So if you hear that, I do apologize. I wish I could control my neighbors. I really can't. Let me see. So we have a ton of questions, as we always do. So I'm gonna just jump right into it. The first question's from Anonymous. They ask, "Are you more of a day or nighttime shower person, or do you do both day and night? I've heard of that being done before. I was just wondering." I love the water. Like, if I could take a bath like 4 times a day or shower like 4 times a day, I totally would. I love being in the water a lot. I think I've always loved water. But yeah, I'm a morning and a night guy. I don't know. I feel like morning is important because it wakes you up, and then night is like so you're clean after the whole day. I don't know. I'm a 2 shower kind of guy. Thank you for your question. I appreciate it. Let us see. So Anonymous asks, "So I realize this is the 69th episode of Get to Know Night. My question will contain some not safe for work ones. Feel free to choose one or more." All right. So, the question is, what is your favorite sex position and what are your turn-ons? Right, turn-ons. I think my biggest turn-ons would be, I don't know, I'm a real sucker for personal attention. I think like personal attention is really nice, like when given in like a seductive way. Oh, that does it for me. I don't know, like favorite sex position. Is there like, I don't know. I love all of them. Like doggy's always so great. Missionary is wonderful. I don't know. Any and all. Like I wish I could be like, that's the one, but it's like we're having sex? Great. Every position's wonderful. Yeah, I don't know. I wish I was more particular, but I'm really not. I'm just like, oh yeah, any way we can do it, that's like the way I want it. Anonymous asks, "Hey Knight, how are you?" "I'm doing good. My question is, do you still have something, i.e. a blanket or stuffy from your childhood? I have a lot of childhood stuffies and sometimes I wonder if I'll keep them forever, pass them on to my kids." Thoughts? I think that's adorable. I think you should totally, if you have stuff from your childhood, I have stuff from my childhood that I keep with a similar intention. I definitely have blankets from when I was a kid. I have stuffed animals. I have a lot of stuffed animals from when I was a kid. I have like a bunch of it. It still exists and I have every intention to give it to my kid. I really hope I can. I think that's, it's nice to be able to pass down, stuff that was important to you and just, you know, I think it's meaningful. So yeah, I don't think it's weird. I think that's super cool. And I'm in the same boat as you, so. Anonymous asks, "Do you have a favorite motivational quote that keeps you going through life? If so, what is it?" I mean, it's not really a motivational quote. I really do like "this too shall pass." My favorite phrase. It's so good. It's such a good phrase. "This too shall pass." It's the only thing you can tell to someone who is both depressed and also ecstatic that will invert their moods in the sense of if you're overjoyed, you can tell someone "this too shall pass," and they'd be like, "Oh no, all this joy will eventually run out." And if someone is like sad, and you say "this too shall pass," they'll realize, oh, the sadness will eventually end and there'll be joy. I just like it because I think it makes you appreciate the good times. It makes you realize that bad times will eventually be over. It just has it's such a poignant phrase. I love it. I love it. It's one of my favorite phrases. So yeah, "this too shall pass" is like one of the best things that gets me through a lot of stuff because it's like you can apply it to anything. But yeah, I like "this too shall pass" quite a bit. Let's see. Some Anonymous says, "Hi Knight, I apologize if you've already answered this already or if it's too personal. I'm new to your content and I haven't been around very long. But anyways, I wanted to know, how did you manage to quit smoking on your own? I've tried to quit 3 times and I failed. What type of methods did you use? Thank you." Man, that is a hard thing to do. That is always it's hard. I think the first step really is acknowledging that it's going to be something you're going to really struggle with. That you're not going to get it right the first time. That like you're right, you failed 3 times. That's totally fine. You're going to like, I failed. I can't even count how many times I failed on that road. Like, the thing is, you gotta, failure doesn't mean the end of the road. It just means, okay, we gotta reassess, pick ourselves up again, and then go forward. That's all failure ever means. I think that's so important. Because the worst thing you can do is just get down on yourself for failing. Because you're gonna fail. It's a hard thing. Like, overcoming this is not easy. It's hard. It's work. But if you acknowledge that you're gonna fail and it's gonna be hard work, that's the first step, is acknowledging those two things. Secondly, I think based on what like resources you have, there's different tools. You know, whether that's having like an accountability buddy, or whether that means going to like groups where you can talk about it and be like, hey, I'm struggling with this, and having people around you helps. Having someone you can go to in those moments really helps. It helps make it easier. Also, learning what your triggers are, like what makes you more inclined to, and then being cognizant of that and being like, okay, so stress, when I'm stressed out, it's the worst. So try to find other activities to do while stressed to cope and compensate. But I think the big thing is just know that you're going to fail, and it's okay to fail. But every time you fail and you overcome the hurdle and you keep moving forward, that is success. You know, I think moving forward is that's the hard part. Cause I think most people, what happens is they hit the wall, they fail, and they're like, well, I guess I can't do it. But the fact of the matter is that you've done it three times and you're like, okay, I want to get over this. That means you're on the right path. So, for me, it was just having like accountability buddies. I think it was being really hard and fast about like, no, I can't have this. And really exercising that. Cause I think that's the hard part is ultimately you are the decider of all the things that you do. And, without some kind of external force saying you can't do this, it's sometimes hard to self-regulate in such a way that you stop yourself from doing something you shouldn't be doing. But yeah, no, I get it. It's a struggle. I appreciate you asking, because I'm flattered that you think I could have some kind of positive advice. I hope my advice helped, because I know how hard it is, and I believe in you. I think you can do it. You just have to just keep moving forward. That's it. Just keep moving forward with the goal of quitting. And if something doesn't work and you fail, look back at it, reassess, move forward. But just don't give up. That's the big thing, is not giving up. Because giving up means that you're never going to quit. So I hope that helped. Let's see. Anonymous asks, I've heard online before that if you eat healthy or eat fruits, for both women and men, they taste better down there. Not sure if this is true or not, but I guess it does make sense since most fruits are good for you. I don't know what you think. I'm pretty sure it is true. I think, like, the more fruits you eat, it's true. I'm pretty sure it's true. I think the better you eat, and the fruits as well, does it. Because anything you put into your body affects your body. So, like, especially, like, the flavor of your body in a weird way. Because you're secreting stuff that you're taking in. So it does make sense that the more healthy organic fruits you put in your body, the better you will taste. That definitely sounds like advice a vampire would give, but I think it's true. Thank you for your question. Joy asks, hey Kay, hope you're having a great week. I am. Thank you for the typing audio. It's awesome. I wonder what keyword you use. I have so many keywords. All right, give me 2 seconds. I gotta get up and grab and take a look at it, so. 2 seconds. So it's an XPG. I don't know what the model is. I think I can. Let me actually find that out for you. XPG keyboard. I'll tell you right now. It is the Corsair K70. One second. Is it Corsair? No, it isn't. That's not the model. Where is my model? Show me my model. Ah, there we go. Found it. All right. The Corsair is the other one. So the one I use for the video is the XPG Infrared K10 RGB Mechanical Gaming Keyboard. It's great. I haven't had any issues with it. It's been wonderful. It makes a great clacky sound. You can like smash your hands on it aggressively. It's the best. I highly recommend it if you're looking for a good mechanical keyboard. I hope that helps. Leah asks, It's been hard finding a guy that likes me for who I am and not just for my body type. Any advice? I mean, it's hard. It's hard to know what people's motivations are with you. I think, and here's my best piece of advice. Is getting to know someone really well. Like, if you can get to know people better and get to know them more completely as a human being before you get into a relationship with them, that's a great way of knowing what their intentions are. Which is hard because, you know, let's say you meet someone, they're cute and they're like, and you vibe on so many things and you're just like, oh, I really just want to get in a relationship with them. You can, but then you're also conversely running the risk of just not knowing. So it's about weighing those two risks. About you can jump into things, but I think the best thing for you is to have good communication. So talk with this person for a long period of time, get to know them, get to know who they are. It's this weird stigma, I think, about how guys are like, oh, I get in the friend zone, or people are like, oh no, like there's something wrong with dating people who you've had great friendships with. It's like a double-edged sword. It can go wrong, it can go right. But I think knowing someone really well is important in dating them, because it helps. It helps when you have a really complete picture of who the person is before you get into what is a romantic setting. Especially if the intentions are for like long-term coupling, because getting a good sense of who they are holistically can give you a good indication of when that holistic person gets paired with my personage, can we cohabitate and create a life together? Because that's the tricky part. That's the hard part. That's what dating is basically building up to, is testing compatibility for long-term coupling. So if you can befriend someone and you can get really close to them before you date them, I think that's better off for you. You're less likely to get hurt that way. So it's really about weighing risk versus reward. You can jump into things high risk, high reward, or you can do a more low risk, but equally as rewarding strategy. I don't know. It's up to you. But I think getting to know people before dating them is really helpful. I think it'll save you a lot of heartbreak in the long run. So I hope that helps. Anonymous asks, "Hey Kay, I hope you're doing well. I recently watched Bo Burnham's special Inside on Netflix, and it reminded me of a movie you might like. I have seen it already. I've wondered if you have seen it. I have. And if you've liked it, I loved it. I love Bo Burnham. I think Bo Burnham's really funny. I think he's clever. His commentary on society is pretty apt. Yeah, it's the kind of stand-up that I'm a big fan of. Yeah, and the music was really good. I'm trying to think. That song about the internet was really funny. The Instagram one was priceless. Yeah, I loved it. I really enjoyed it. Let's see. Anonymous asks, "Hey Kay, so I'm really into DDLG and I love all your DDLG related audios. Thank you. It's been really hard for me to find a real dom. I've tried to introduce my past boyfriends into it, and I've always been judged, and they automatically turn me down. I wanted to know what's your advice about that. Thank you so much." Oh man, it's hard. I think it's hard to. It's hard to introduce someone to it with preconceived notions. I think trying to find a perfect partner in dynamic play is pretty challenging. It's because there's so much that goes into it, you know, and the problem with dynamic play is that people in the positions of the dominant position can so easily abuse and manipulate that power. In ways that are just terrible, and I wish those people were uncommon, but they're more common than they should be in the space, which sucks. What's my best advice for this? I think my best advice for this personally is finding friends in that scene. Having a circle of friends in that scene will help you tremendously. It will help you so much. Just having someone who, it's having someone who knows, one, that scene where you live specifically, so they can introduce you to like events, and there's like there's a bunch of stuff that happens in that subculture that you wouldn't know about unless you're like plugged in. So I think having a circle of friends who are plugged in that kind of way is incredibly helpful. So I think you should just try to go out there and meet people in the scene, not with the intention of finding a dominant, but just with the intention of befriending people and getting more exposure into it. I think that's my most helpful piece of advice, because through this network of people, you're more likely to find the person you're looking for, and you have other people to vouch and validate that they're like on the level and they're like, you know, good people, versus like, I don't know. I hear like Tinder horror stories that make me like my skin crawl, and I just am like, no, please don't look that way, because those ways are ways in which you can put yourself in danger. So I want you to do it in like a responsible and safe way. And in my personal opinion and my personal experience, that way has always been through having just a network of friends who have the same kind of proclivities that I do, who are like, oh yeah, like, you know, there's a bondage event happening here, or like, you know, and through this network of friends, you can find people who are like-minded, just like you. I hope that helps. I hope that's like actionable advice that can help you in your life. But yeah. I think that's it for today. Yeah. I can keep going, but this episode will run longer than they should. So I'm going to wrap it here for now, but I appreciate everyone who sent messages, who sent good old questions. If you want to send a question, you're more than welcome to via the form. There should be a link down in the doobly-doo. If you have a request, use a request line. I never, ever, ever do requests that are sent through Get to Know Night. That's just like a point of policy. So if you have a request and you want me to do it, go to the request line. I do requests from there like all the time. I think in a week, 2 audios are at least from the request line on average, sometimes more. So yeah, if that's something that you want, go over there. But if you have a question, come over here. But that's all I got for you today. Oh wow, that was a loud one. I've been Knight. I hope you've had a great time listening to this. I will see you all later. Bye now.